the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on a special weekend here in the Eternal City. Sunday is April 21st, and that is the Natale di Roma, the birthday of Rome. This year marks the 2,777th anniversary of the city's legendary foundation by Romulus and Remus on April 21st, 753 BC. Lots of great events planned for the city on Sunday. The interview segment this week features a really special guest, Michael Warsaw, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of EWTN. We spoke when he was in Rome for the blessing of the newest EWTN offices. In part one this weekend, we talk about the history of the EWTN Rome Bureau, from a humble office in my home as the first bureau chief to the large, beautiful new premises. Next week, we will look at the future of EWTN. Now, some of the top news stories of the week. Sunday, April 14th. At the Regina Caeli, Pope Francis invited the faithful to remember their personal encounters with the Lord and to consider how truly beautiful it is for us to share and transmit our faith. He was reflecting on the day's gospel reading, according to St. Luke, which takes place the evening of Passover. The passage narrates when the apostles are gathered in the upper room, and in particular when the two disciples return from Emmaus and tell of their encounter with Jesus. The Holy Father went on to reflect on how this moment transformed their lives and how likewise encountering Jesus changes everything for all of the faithful. In appeals following the Marian prayer, Francis said, "I am following in prayer and with concern, even pain, the news that has reached us in the last few hours regarding the worsening of the situation in Israel due to the intervention by Iran. I make a heartfelt appeal to halt any action that might fuel a spiral of violence with the risk of dragging the Middle East into an even greater military conflict. No one should threaten the existence of others," said the Pope. "May all nations instead take the side of peace and help Israelis and Palestinians live in two states, side by side, in safety. It is their deep and legitimate desire, and it is their right, two neighboring states." He then said, "Let there be a ceasefire in Gaza soon, and let us pursue the path of negotiation with determination. Let us help that population plunged into a humanitarian catastrophe. Let the hostages kidnapped months ago be released. So much suffering. Let us pray for peace. No more war, no more attacks, no more violence. Yes to dialogue, yes to peace." Monday, April 15th. Monday and Tuesday, Pope Francis met with the C9 Council of Cardinal Advisors. A press release Tuesday said discussions focused on a number of areas, including the global situation, the role of women in the Church, a report on the current synod, and a reflection on the implementation of the Apostolic Constitution Praedicante Evangelium in diocesan curias. There were also references to various conflicts in different parts of the world, especially the Middle East and Ukraine. Tuesday was quiet in the Vatican. Wednesday, April 17th. In a telegram of condolences, he sent to Cardinal Luis José Rueda Aparicio, Archbishop of Bogotá, Colombia, Pope Francis mourned Cardinal Rubiano Sáenz, Archbishop Emeritus of Bogotá, who passed away at age 91 on April 15th. Also Wednesday, in his continuing general audience catechesis on the cardinal virtues, Pope Francis highlighted the fourth and final virtue of temperance, saying the Catechism describes it as the moral virtue that moderates the attraction of pleasures and provides balance in the use of created goods. Temperance, he said, is the virtue of self-mastery, of healthy discretion, guiding us to keep desires within the bounds of what is honorable. It helps us to act wisely in every situation, knowing when to speak, when to correct, and when silence serves as the best response. In matters of pleasure, said Francis, temperance prompts us to exercise sound judgment, choosing moderation over excess, enabling us to savor life's pleasures in measured doses. In this sense, it is harmony with the gospel values of littleness, discretion, and meekness. After the catechesis, Francis highlighted the plight of prisoners of war in conflict-stricken countries. Our thoughts at this moment, the thoughts of all of us, go to the peoples at war, he said, speaking off the cuff. We think of the Holy Land, of Palestine, of Israel. We think of Ukraine, tormented Ukraine. We think of the prisoners of war. May the Lord move wills so they may be freed. And the Pope had special thoughts for those prisoners who are subjected to torture. The torture of prisoners is a horrible thing. It is not human. We think of so many kinds of torture that wound the dignity of the person and of so many tortured people. May the Lord help everyone and bless everyone. Thursday, April 18th, Pope Francis welcomed superiors and delegates of discalced Carmelites. Noting that they are in the process of revising their constitutions, the Holy Father acknowledged this is a significant undertaking. Not only does it respond to a natural human need and the contingencies of human life, it also marks an occasion to devote yourselves to prayer and discernment. You are challenged to discover new language, new ways, and new means to give greater impetus to the contemplative life that the Lord has called you to embrace, so that the charism of Carmel may attract many hearts. Also Thursday, the Vatican released a message from Pope Francis to participants in the Fourth World Gathering of the Global Christian Forum, taking place in Accra, Ghana. He encouraged everyone to deepen their faith and to revitalize fraternal love, reflecting the unity to which Christians are called as they discuss the challenges facing the global Christian community. He praised the global diversity present, reflecting a beautiful mosaic of contemporary Christianity and sharing a common identity as followers of Jesus Christ. Friday, April 19th, more than 6,000 Italian girls and boys connected with the Italian National Network of Schools of Peace visited the Vatican Friday morning for a special encounter with Pope Francis. During a speech in which he repeatedly called for responses from the children, Pope Francis made a special appeal to remember children, those who afflicted by war and conflict, especially the children of Ukraine, have forgotten how to smile, and for the children of Gaza, gunned down and suffering from hunger. Pope Francis began his address to his youthful audience by thanking them for their journey full of ideas that aim to promote a new vision of the world. He thanked them for being full of enthusiasm and for their passionate and generous commitment to working for a better future. In this time still marked by war, I ask you to be artisans of peace, he said. In a society still prisoner of a throwaway culture, I ask you to be protagonists of inclusion. In a world torn by global crises, I ask you to be builders of the future so that our common home may become a place of fraternity. Those are the highlights of the week, but now stay here for the Q&A and for my conversation with Michael Warsaw, CEO of EWTN. Welcome to the Q&A. This week, answering a question that came via email, I explain what an equivalent canonization is. Very early in his pontificate, Pope Francis issued a decree called an equivalent canonization, declaring one of his favorite Jesuits, Blessed Peter Faber, a saint. In equivalent canonization, a procedure described by Pope Benedict XIV in the 18th century, the Pope waives the usual judicial process and declares that a blessed's liturgical cult is extended to the universal church. Benedict XVI canonized St. Hildegard of Bingen by equivalent canonization in 2012. And earlier, Pope Francis had done the same with St. Angela of Foligno. Equivalent canonization, though not frequent, is not rare in the Church, wrote Cardinal Angelo Amato, prefect of the Congregation for Causes of Saints, in an interview published in L'Osservatore Romano at the time of the Holy Father's decree. Cardinal Amato said three elements are necessary for an equivalent canonization: a long-time cult, the constant and common attestation of credible historians of the Blessed's virtues, and an uninterrupted reputation for wonders obtained through the Blessed's intercession. All three, he said, were present in St. Peter Faber's case.
He is honored as an English monk, priest, scholar, and doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Bede spent almost his entire life in a monastery. He earned the title Father of English History for his masterpiece, Ecclesiastical History of the English People. Called the Venerable for his vast wisdom and holiness, he is the only English-born Doctor of the Church. He died in 735 and was named a doctor in 1899.
To find out more, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
Some special items on EWTNRC.com this month are these personalized First Communion gifts. Whether you're looking for a wall cross, holy water font, desk shrine, or arched plaque, each of these EWTN exclusive items can be personalized to commemorate this special occasion in the life of every Catholic. To order, go to EWTNRC.com and search FC 2024 to see the full collection.
Prayer is a variety of forms of communication. Sometimes we simply greet one another, "Hi, how are you?" And we say small, short prayers similarly to God. Other times we engage people in deep conversations. Other times we engage our families in family reunions and big meals. Similarly with God, we engage Him in Eucharist and deep meditation as well.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, I want to welcome my visitors to another segment of a Vatican interview, this week with a really, really special guest. And I'm sure everyone listening knows the name Michael Warsaw. Michael, of course, is the chairman of the board and CEO, chief executive officer, of Eternal Word Television Network. And Michael comes to Rome. We're very fortunate here. He comes to Rome at least once a year, usually. And this week, we have Michael's in town for the blessing of our new offices. We now cover both ends of Via della Conciliazione in Rome. And so we had the blessing, we'll talk about that, of our new office at number 3. There were board members there of EWTN, obviously staff, and many other invited guests. And this was the day before another big event in Rome, the rector's dinner at our seminary, the North American College. And we had a good presence at that dinner, too, and a lot of common friends. So now, Michael, talk to us for a moment about those brand new offices, what they mean for us here in the Eternal City. But before you answer, I have to tell you, as I said when we just met minutes ago, that for me, this is so amazing because in 2005, as the first Rome bureau chief for EWTN, the offices were new and very small. And you and I are sitting in them right now, literally the EWTN office in my apartment. So stunning growth in very few years. And talk about the new offices and that blessing.
Sure. Well, thanks, Joan. And it's such a delight to be with you. I think this perhaps is one of the first times that we've had a chance to sit down and really talk over these years.
Exactly.
But yes, this new office is certainly a next milestone, I think, in the development of EWTN here in the Eternal City. Obviously, as you said, you know, back to 2005 when you were the first bureau chief, and you know, your room here and your apartment in Rome, and that's really kind of where this started. And as the years progressed, and as EWTN's apostolate has grown, we've certainly added more services. We've added more people, so we went from You alone carrying the flag here to now, today, about 40 full-time employees here of EWTN who work in Rome. And we had a really good problem, and it's a problem that's repeated over the years, which is we expanded a little bit and then opened another little space outside of your apartment.
Yeah.
And then we grew out of that, and so we had to move a little bit into a larger space, and we outgrew that, and that was the origin of the first office on Via Conciliatse, right next to the press office of
exactly.
the Holy See. And so now we've again outgrown that space, and we've now got an office at the other end of Via Conciliazione. So coming and going,
beautiful
you have
space.
You have to see EWTN one way or the other.
No, it's like on the top floor or almost top mm-hmm. floor. Beautiful, beautiful terrace.
And what we've done is really to split into two sections. So we retain the original office on Via Conciliazione, which is now our technical operations center for Rome. It supports all of the television feeds that viewers
right.
of the network see of papal events and all of the different moments in the life of the church that EWTN brings to the world.
Exactly.
That is all going through the technical center, all of the news feeds, all of the different shows and segments of shows that people see that involve Rome. All of that's inside that technical center. But now there's an office space and a great space for our journalists, for our producers, for our managers. So all of the people who really comprise this team of
exactly.
40 full-time people that are part of EWTN.
Well, and the thing is, we have so many different languages that we work with, too, that even the people, the videographers, they are there. They have, well, on one table in that new office, there must have been 8 huge screens mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. they do their work with, all in the different languages. So they'll film me in English on Mondays for At Home with Jim and Joy, and then maybe someone after that in Spanish with the news,
right,
and all those
right.
things have to be edited. We have a very talented staff.
We do, and you know, it's largely a young team. I mean,
exactly.
I think you know, when I'm in town, you know, I raise the average age a decade or so.
Well, I raise them more than you do. Exactly.
But they're just amazing. I think we have 14 or 15 different nationalities that work
yeah.
for us
exactly.
in the Bureau. You know, we've got Kazakhs, we've got Hungarians, we've got Poles, we've got Austrians, we've got, you know,
no.
you name it. And it's really beautiful, and it's
well,
really...
Well, it's a reflection of the church.
It is,
the universal church.
Absolutely. And it's beautiful to see... what God has done over these years, to see from that humble beginning with you in 2005 and the great work that you did in establishing the presence for EWTN here, and then to see that grow to now this, you know, multi-language, multicultural group that is serving
exactly.
the global distribution platforms of EWTN, you know, which has also grown exponentially in these last years.
Oh, absolutely. As new technology, social media, is born, we are there.
Absolutely.
If it's born on a Monday,
absolutely.
We have it on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So it's
right.
just...
And that was something that was important to Mother Angelica from the very beginning of the network. She always believed that we should be embracing new technologies, new platforms.
Exactly.
And putting those to work for the service of the gospel.
Well, the story I always love about her is that, and you can correct any detail I miss, but she's in Chicago and visiting a radio and television station. And as if she's looking at some produce in a grocery store, she says, "I want one of these."
Yeah, Lord, you know? Lord, I got to have one of these.
The Lord answered her, and she knew how to interpret, you know, interpret His call. And I have to say, Michael, I think both of us probably feel that the only disappointment in these years or days is that Mother Angelica never saw. She heard her dream come true, knew it was coming true, but never saw the.
That's
offices.
True, but I'm confident she knows and she sees.
And well, you mean
I
like she's watching
she's,
over us
I,
right
I think
now?
She's watching yeah. over us, there's
sure.
no doubt. And
sure.
What I saw, you know, during the years that after her stroke and when she was kind of in that state of suffering, I know her offering her sufferings and her prayers and all that she went through in that moment opened so many doors for the growth of EWTN. And,
yeah.
and I know over these last 8 years since she passed away, I feel that presence. I feel again that, you know, she is now indeed interceding and opening doors for
exactly.
her network, just as she did when she was on Earth.
Well, she still has to be our mentor, and we have to look back at not just a physical obstacle, which was pretty humongous in her life, not just that, but any other obstacle, people who opposed her or needing money. You don't create any kind of a radio or television station with, you know, just...
Right. Right.
Well, she did. $200
in
a garage for an office.
But she would say, and she did say to me, you know, that the greatest witness of, you know, her witness and the greatest witness of EWTN is really not what has been done, you know. And she said, not all the channels, not all the stations, not all of the languages or any of that. The greatest witness of EWTN is how we have done what we've done, which is by relying upon God's providence.
Exactly.
And that remains true today. That was true for her, you know, in 1980 when she began EWTN, you know, almost 44 years ago. And it's true today, you know, when we talk about opening the new offices here in Rome, or we talk about, you know, the new services that are a part of that, or we talk about all of our television services in Europe, for example, in all these different languages. All of that happens because of God's providence, and that providence manifested through our donors and our EWTN family around the world. So,
and I think you sense that when you talk, when I say you, all of us, just talking among each other, talking with the staff, you sense that.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
the joy that people have. Sometimes the hours can be very, very long with this Pope, with so many papal events, papal audiences, etc. But hey, the reward is always there.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think is great, and you know, I was speaking a moment ago about how our office here, the folks who staff that are really, you know, young people, and that's true not only here in Rome. That's what you have in our news headquarters in Washington, and really throughout the EWTN apostolate.
Right.
You know, we have these amazing young people who, you know, in their 20s and their 30s, who are, you know, sometimes it's a generation that's very much maligned. I mean, I know I have children who are, you know, in that generation, and
but they're inspirational
to
me.
I see these young people, and they are just amazing. They're on fire for the faith. They love the faith. And the one thing that I'm always so struck by is when they come to us, how much they rely upon the legacy of Mother Angelica. How much they embrace and know the spirituality and the charism of Mother. And so one of the things I try to do as someone who, one of the few people remaining in EWTN, there's a handful of us, but who knew her, who worked alongside of her.
Right.
I obviously had the great blessing and privilege of working with her almost on a daily basis for, you know, well over a decade.
I can't imagine.
it was amazing. But I'm very conscious of making sure that we pass on to the next generation, you know, those stories, those moments, and an understanding of who and what made her such a special person.
Well, when anybody comes to know that I met Mother Angelica, and actually two occasions also, she met all of the EWTN staff at the shrine at the family celebration in 2006. But I had met her a year earlier just by total chance, the very same day that I signed the contract to be the Rome Bureau Chief. We met. Now, she'd had her stroke, but we could communicate. Sometimes you don't need words, or you can mouth words that people know. Now, Michael, as chairman of the board, you oversee the network's strategic direction and mission around the world. I wonder how many of my listeners know where we have offices.
Probably very few. That's the thing that I find is people know what, you know, part of EWTN that they're used to, you know, watching or consuming, so they know us maybe in the United States from seeing us on television or hearing us on radio in the United States. But at this point, you know, in Europe alone, we have 14 different regional and language channels that we operate in Europe. So we are
astonishing.
We are in Kiev. We have an operation based in Kiev that's in Ukrainian.
Yes.
And despite the war, has stayed on the air and active, and really is, you know, bringing, I think, a message of hope and peace in the middle of that terrible situation. We have channels in Poland, in Hungary, in
Norway,
Germany. We have a Norwegian channel.
Yes.
You know, there's something like 50,000 Catholics in Norway, but this channel is just incredibly popular with the population at large, and it's really, I think, introducing Catholicism, introducing the Church to the entire population of Norway in a way that nothing else really has. But we have services in Croatia, we have services in Denmark, in Sweden, Netherlands, UK, Ireland, Spain. We have a separate channel now in Spain. It's really just remarkable.
Some of the people that I've met or corresponded with, but importantly met in person, like the Bureau Chief in Budapest for Hungary. I was there in Budapest last August with my sister. We were about to go on a Danube River cruise. And who picked us up at the airport, and we had such a nice chat and everything. Our time frame did not allow us to have an office visit, you know, with that bureau. But You said a couple of words a few minutes ago that totally described the people that I know, aside from the youth. They're on fire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They really are. Absolutely. And that transmits itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nobody who's involved in EWTN, particularly in helping in the startup phase of so many of these international channels that we've begun over these last really relatively few years. You know,
this is
most of this has happened within the last 10 years or less.
Many miracles.
And oh my gosh, absolutely.
Many and many.
Absolutely. And you know, the Hungary story is fascinating too, because that group started out with a studio in a building, and this particular studio that they renovated and reconstructed had, during the Soviet communist era, been a briefing room for KGB and secret police agents. And it had fallen into disrepair. They acquired it, they built it, and had it, you know, thoroughly blessed. And it's now the main studio that they use. And, you know, and it's,
well,
and it's
Michael,
this remarkable
Hungary, in those communist change. Years, mm-hmm. Hungary, after Poland, was the most Catholic country. Mm-hmm. They had, it was 60-some percent were Polish.
Right.
I mean, were all Catholic. I was invited by a bishop many years ago, spent about 10 days in Hungary. I have to do a whole show on that. It was just phenomenal. It was during the communist years. I knew I was being followed around the city. I did nothing that any communist official could object to. In other words, I didn't see anybody.
Sure.
They
sure.
knew I was there to do something on the Catholic Church. The bishop already told me, he said, we let these people know in advance, you know, so that they can see that we're up front about things.
Sure, sure.
Oh, and I was writing for the Register at the time.
So we got a
whole bunch of my stories there. Mm. Well, that's all the time I have today with Michael Warsaw, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of Eternal Word Television Network, EWTN. We spoke when he was in Rome for the blessing of the newest EWTN offices. In this part one, you heard us talk about the history of the EWTN Rome Bureau, from a humble office in my home as the first bureau chief to the large, beautiful new premises. Now come back next week for part two when Michael talks about the future of EWTN. You will be amazed and delighted at what's on the horizon.
For more information on these stories or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.